It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and you know what? It is time for us to enjoy the next 15 minutes and talk hunting and fishing. Today, we're going to talk fishing. More specifically, we're going to talk about catching catfish with author and renowned catfisherman Jake Bussolini. Now, Jake's not in the business of selling baits or lures or anything like that, but he is in the business of catching catfish, and I guarantee you the next 15 minutes listening to Jake, you'll learn a few things about catching not only channel cat, but blue and flatheads as well. Now, the first portion of our show is underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up on Lake of the Woods in Ontario, Canada. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com, and the toll-free phone number is 866-894-0674. Folks, as I mentioned, Mr. Jake Bussolini is our guest. Good morning to you, Jake.
Good morning, Luke.
Well, I appreciate you being with us, and in the next 12 or so minutes, we're going to cover a lot of waters on catfishing. You know, up in, folks are listening to you online everywhere, but up in Northeast Texas, and we've got some real good catfishing waters up here. We have a lake called Lake Tawakoni, which I know you've talked, you and I have talked about Tawakoni before.
Yes, we
we've
have.
Got Lake Fork. Actually, I've got a newspaper article in the newspapers coming out tomorrow on a recent trip to Lake Fork for channel catfish with Mr. Seth Vanover. Now, for catching channel cat, you know, you've had a chance to fish for channels in the Red River. Now, that's not our Red River. It's the Northern Red River, folks, up in, goes through North Dakota, right, Jake?
That's right, North Dakota.
And that's some of the bigger channel cats. But if you were to choose for reservoir lake fishing, a type of bait for channels, what would be your criteria there, Jake?
Well, for channels here in North Carolina, for basically lake fishing, and most of our lakes here are basically river lakes. They were turned into lakes by the power companies years ago. So we're talking about river lakes that aren't, well, they're not terribly deep where we fish for the channels. And basically we use two types of bait, and it's a trial and error process. The first, and probably most popular amongst most catfishermen are cut bait. And, of course, they're called different things in different places, but here we're overrun with white perch that run about 10, 12 inches long, and, of course, they're legal bait to use, so we chop those up and use usually the midsection, a chunk about an inch and a half thick for the channels, and we troll them very, very slowly. The second bait we use, and, of course, if we use this if the other one doesn't work, is any form of stink bait. The popular thing to do is you cut a chunk of foam rubber about an inch square and dip it in whatever stink bait or you can buy or make. And both of those baits are very popular here. Up in the North Red River, that was quite different. You may remember from our previous discussion, we had lots of luck with leopard frogs up there, and that was new to me. I never heard of using leopard frogs for a bait for channel cats. And, of course, I got my personal best 21.8 pounder using these leopard frogs. And that was new to me, but it works real well up in the Red River.
Well, you know, Jake, down here, some people do call crappie white perch. Many people in eastern Texas refer to crappie as white perch. So, of course, we can't use them for bait. You might be thinking is crappie, but you can, Jake, we could use sunfish, you know, cut them up. That would be some good cut bait also, wouldn't it?
Yes, well, we give the general definition here called brim, but there's sunfish and
yeah.
Any other of that species. Yeah, we'll chop those up. Actually, the heads of those sunfish we use for flatheads and have good luck with the heads for flatheads. And then, of course, we usually use the midsection, which is pretty meaty on the brim, quite often for both the blues and the channels.
Yeah. Well, Jake, back to the dip bait. That's what folks, most people listening would think of when you were talking about the bait that you use. But just a little cube of just foam rubber, right?
And you know what I make mine out of? Are these floats that the kids use in the pool. I had a couple of old ones in my pool, and I don't know. They hold the smell.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't leak out of those things. If you soak those in that stink bait, you can troll with that for 2 or 3 hours, and it still holds that the odor. It doesn't leak out like in some other types of foam and whatnot that you dip it in.
Very good point, Jake, and I'm taking notes right now. There's tubes that you can buy to dip down in the, we'll just call it what dip baits, for instance. You know, you dip it in, you can use a little paddle or a spoon or whatever and poke it down in that dip bait. But the plastic, it seems, you know, it'll hold the dip bait for a while. But this sponge, for lack of a better term, do you dip it in there and get it in there and let it set for a while?
Well, what we do is we make sure that we got a pair of rubber gloves, first of all, because if you get this on your fingers, you got to walk around with it for a long time.
Right.
We dip it in the bait and give it a couple of squeezes, just like a sponge.
Uh-huh.
And you give it one or two good squeezes, and it really loads up with the bait. You don't have to soak it very long. That's the nice part of it. It's quick.
While you're out fishing, in other words, if you need to rebait.
Exactly.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we usually do it when we're out fishing, because if you start bringing these things out, storing them, it's a real problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an awesome idea. Let's think about the hook. Now, do you run the eye of the hook through the sponge?
Or? Yeah, it's about an inch and a half square cube. We bury the hook in the sponge. So when they grab it and nibble on it, they're not really going to feel anything, and then of course they'll take off with it. The hook is buried. We use maybe a number four or number six circle hook, and just bury that right in that piece of foam.
So a circle hook. Folks, our guest is Mr. Jake Bussolini. Now, he's got a current book out called The Catfish Hunters that is no less than awesome. It's a lot of technical information in there, but it's also a lot of nuts and bolts stuff like we're covering right now. Now, Jake, I honestly mostly use treble hooks for the channel cat. Now, that would work too, wouldn't it, or would it, with this sponge?
Well, the
sponge
treble hook would work. You might have trouble burying that hook in that foam.
Mm-hmm.
The primary reason that most of us here use circle hooks is we catch and release.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're going to go out and keep a catfish, we might use treble, but for the most part, we're almost all using circle hooks so that we can return the fish.
Well, the truth is, most people listening to us now, there are so many channel cat in the lakes around this northeast Texas that a lot of people do fish too for a fish fry. And I guess you could just take that, I could picture taking that treble hook and maybe just pushing the round part up into it, where the hooks are on the bottom, possibly.
You could kind of punch a little hole through and stick the eye right up through, that would be super.
The thing is, you want to have a square of an inch and a half now.
Yeah, about an inch to an inch and a half.
Okay, square. Yes, sir. Now, most of the channel cat that this time of year that we catch, on the average, to be quite frank, a pound and a half to 4 pounds is a good average. So probably for those size catfish, maybe no bigger than an inch square, right?
Yeah, size, I'd go an inch, maybe 3/4 of an inch.
There you go. And that's basically what we catch, you know. So, well, now that's some really, really good information. And I can see how that would get permeated with the dip bait, with the scent, and it would stay on a lot longer than trying to put it on like a dip worm or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. It'll stay on for hopefully if we have a good trip, we don't have to change the bait. We just catch fish and get rid of it. But if we're not getting fish on it, we'll fish that for an hour and a half before we even think about changing it.
Now, is the dip bait visible on the outside, or is it all just mostly scent at that point?
It's mostly scent at that time. What we use is a red or blue colored foam, only because that's what most of those swim foam things are.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a natural color, but you really can't see. Well, it depends on what kind of stink liquid you're using, but for most part, it's inside. It gets soaked in.
Yes. Now, I've used, for instance, one that I've had really good luck with. It's called Little Stinker, and they've got all kind of different flavors, liver, shad, but it's pretty thick consistency, but I can see how if you put those rubber gloves on and put some of that in the palm of your hand and squeeze it, it would get it down into the foam.
Because that foam is pretty porous, but if it's so thick that it won't absorb, What I would do, and I haven't done this, but I would do it, I'd pour a little shad oil in to loosen it up and then squeeze that in.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, too, in the summertime, the stuff is, I think it would work really, really good on a sponge because in the heat down here, 110 degrees sometimes,
right.
You know, it begins to get a lot thinner. So
right.
Very good tip. Well, we've got about five more minutes. I want to talk about your book a little bit, Jake. And the name of the book is The Catfish Hunters, folks. And there's a website. It is Jake's Take on Fishing, www.jakes, J-A-K-E-S, Jake's Take on Fishing. And they can learn all about the book and get the book there. But that's not just, you did a lot of research, Jake, for that book, didn't you?
Yeah, we sure did. You know, I got Mac Byram, who's a lifelong catfish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm converted. I'm a converted bass fisherman.
Yeah.
Fish catfish for the last 10 years. But I got Mac Byram to co-author it, and I had an airplane, and I'm a pilot. We flew all over the eastern part of the country, the James River up in Virginia, which is one of the best catfish rivers on the East Coast. It's a tidal river, and we got 50 to 60 pound blues there. We went down to the Altamaha River in Georgia for flatheads, and then we went up to the Red River in North Dakota for channels. And the reason we did this is, I mean, there's plenty of lakes here in North Carolina that we fished on, but we really wanted to make this a textbook, and we really wanted to get a variety of opinions of how the different experts in the different parts of the country are fishing for these fish. And we put all that in the book, so it's got a pretty good range of information in it.
Jake, is the Catfish Hunters, is it available as a Kindle download?
Yes, it is. It's an e-book. It is on e-book. I think three of my four books are on e-books. You can get them, again, by going on that website, Jake's Take on Fishing, and click on buy, and it'll go into the publisher's store, and you can buy it as an e-book and download it.
Well, I thought so. I've read the actual book. I've got it in a prominent place on my bookshelf for reference. I really do. But I don't know, catfishing, it seems like more information has been brought out on catching catfish in the last, I'd say, 6, 7, 8 years. It seems forever the way to catch catfish was, you know, just localized, liver on the bottom or, you know, whatever. But there's every bit as much information on catching catfish in different ways as there is bass fishing now, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Like I say, we troll a lot here in the Carolinas, and we actually troll with planer boards. Some people that I've talked to in different parts of the country never heard of trolling for catfish, but we do it regularly. But there's all kinds of different ways. And the reason I converted, quite frankly, I got tired of catching small fish.
Yeah. Well, the planer board, I've used planer boards up on Lake Washita in Arkansas for stripers. I've used planer boards down on Lake Falcon for catching hybrid stripers. Never thought of using planer boards for catfish.
Yeah.
But a catfish is a spooky animal anyway, by nature.
The reason we switched to we use planer boards here is our lakes are mostly man-made, and they got a lot of channels and creeks. And you can get into the middle of a channel and throw out a couple of planer boards on each side, and you can cover 200 feet swath as you're trolling up through it. So you can take a small creek, and you can cover the whole thing with a couple of little down lines and some planer boards. You cover the whole creek.
Now, so to move you along, are you using a strong trolling motor or the big motor?
No, we're using a strong trolling motor.
Uh-huh. Just enough to pull that, and that planer board at a 45-degree angle will pull it right out.
It pulls it right out. Yeah, we'll troll it anything around 6/10 or 7/10 of a mile per hour. Sometimes, as long as it's below 1 mile an hour, we feel that we found that's a good bait, that's a good speed. The slower the better, actually, because we want to get that down.
Well, Jake, we are out of time. I really appreciate you being with us, and I'll get you back. We'll talk some flathead fishing next time. How about it?
Okay, that'd be super.
You bet. Folks, that was Mr. Jake Bussolini. Again, his website is jakestakeonfishing.com. Do remember catfishradio.com. You can go online, and you can listen to the archive of this week's show right now. So until this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.